WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. It is Monday, April 4th, 2016. And folks, I am your host, Al Martin. We have a great show in store for you throughout this entire hour, a jam-packed one as we will take a look at the weekend that was in the sporting world. Of course, we will talk about the two Final Four games that have yielded the two teams that will be competing for college basketball's national championship tonight. We will give you a preview of that matchup. And speaking of college basketball, folks, and speaking of just basketball in general, one of Mitt Michigan's own will be inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame. I'm pretty sure you know who that man is. We will chat about that. Also, we will bring you a pretty cool feature from our very own Scott Pohl as he highlights a former Michigan State men's basketball player who has actually written a children's book. You don't want to miss that. And on the back end of the show, we, of course, will talk a little spring football and also will hit you with weekend winners. That and so much more. If you want to be a part of today's show, call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. You can also go to facebook.com/currentsports or even tweet me at Al Martin WKAR if you also want to weigh in on anything that we talk about this entire hour. But hey, you know what's next? Here are your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners again for this Monday, April 4th. All right, ladies and gents, boys and girls, the 2016 Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame class was announced this morning at 11 a.m., and it features Michigan State's own Tom Izzo. How cool is that, right? Izzo is one of 10 inductees in this year's class, which features Allen Iverson, Shaquille O'Neal, Cheryl Swoops, Yao Ming, and others. Now, Izzo, who just completed his 21st year at the helm of the Spartan men's basketball program, he joins Magic Johnson and Pete Newell as Hall of Famers with ties to Michigan State University. Now, the official induction ceremony will take place on September 9th at the Hall in Springfield, Massachusetts. Congrats to Tom Izzo. We'll have more on that story in just a second. Oklahoma senior guard Buddy Hield has been voted as the Naismith Player of the Year, which is awarded yearly to the nation's top college basketball player. Now, the award, which Hield edged over MSU's own Denzel Valentine, was presented on Sunday, just a day after Hield scored only 9 points in Oklahoma's blowout loss to Villanova in the Final Four. Now, Hield was second in the nation in scoring this season, averaging 25 points per game to go with nearly 6 rebounds a game as well. He had a fantastic year, well-deserving for Mr. Buddy Hield. Villanova and North Carolina will square off tonight in Houston for the NCAA Men's Basketball Championship. Both the Wildcats and Tar Heels looked impressive in Saturday's semifinals. Villanova routed Oklahoma 95-51 while shooting 71% as a team. North Carolina got the better of Syracuse 83-66. The final of that one. Villanova is seeking their first title since the school's only triumph in 1985, while UNC is looking for championship number 6 and its first since 2009, a year in which the Tar Heels beat Villanova in the Final Four. Tip-off is set for 9:19 p.m. tonight and can be seen on TBS. Hunter Risen, Ann Arbor Skyline wide receiver and son of former Michigan State University star Andre Risen, has recommitted to Michigan State as a part of the class of 2017. Now, Risen, a 4-star prospect, reopened his recruitment in November after making an early decision, but eventually decided to stick with the Spartans. Now, joining Risen in the green and white in 2017 will be the number one quarterback in the state of Iowa, Rocky Lombardi. How cool is that name? I'm going to say it one more time. Rocky Lombardi. Lombardi is a 3-star pro-style quarterback who is currently ranked number 47 at his position nationally. Those two commitments now give Michigan State 5 for the 2017 class. Again, Rocky Lombardi. I can't stop saying it. That's a cool name. All right, adding to our postseason hardware, Michigan State star Ariel Powers has received her second All-American honor of the year. Having previously been selected to the AP All-American third team, Powers has also been named a WBCA All-America honorable mention. Now, Powers now Michigan State's all-time leading scorer. And, of course, for the women's basketball team at Michigan State is one of eight players from the Big Ten on WCBA All-America teams and is the eighth Spartan in program history to receive WBCA honors. All right, Michigan State sophomore golfer Katie Sharp took home the hardware at this weekend's inaugural Clemson Invitational. Sharp shot an 8-under, 208, which ties for the second lowest 54-hole total in school history. Man, I wish I could play golf like that. Now, the win is the first in Sharp's collegiate career and third individual triumph for a Spartan this year, joining Sarah Burnham, who has already won two tourneys this year. As a team, the number 46 Spartans finished in third place, shooting their lowest tournament total of the season, just three shots back of number 8 Florida, who won the tournament. Longtime Michigan hockey coach Red Berenson announced Sunday at the team banquet that he will return for his 33rd season as the Wolverines head hockey coach. Quote, "I'm here today to say I had a meeting with Ward Manuel, and this will not be my last hockey banquet." Berenson is 76 years old. And last but not least, 19-year-old big man Thon Maker has announced that he will be skipping college basketball to attempt to enter the NBA draft this upcoming summer. Maker believes he is eligible since he graduated in June of 2015, which means that he is of age and at least one NBA season has passed since graduation. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Without further ado, let's start the show.
All you have to do is look across Munfield to our basketball arena, and you see how championships are made. You see the type of work that goes into it. You see the type of culture that's been built.
Everybody knows that Tom Izzo is not only, I call him one of the best two coaches in all of college basketball.
He's got his place right now where his footsteps are being dropped, representing the program.
The neat thing about Tom and the unique thing about Tom is I think obviously Tom understands his importance to the athletic department.
He is so vital to everything we do. He is really our ambassador, and he really just tries to help every single program be successful. He's the ultimate program guy.
So I really feel like Tom is always is Michigan State.
Well, he's just an incredible resource, and he's so passionate, knowledgeable about Michigan State. I have so much respect for what he's done while he's been here. And
always impressed how Coach Izzo carries himself in terms of his concern for the university and his concern for all the other coaches within the program. You know, not just his basketball coaches, but for everybody across the board at Michigan State. And
I mean, that's a Hall of Fame coach.
Remember this, though. Remember this the rest of your life. Whatever you do, it's a memory for your life. You know, 2 hours of work, 60 years of memory, 60 years of enjoyment. You know, that's the way it's going to happen. You're going to sacrifice for the things you do and tell them how excited we are to be here. And you guys, you're right. You start your own tradition now. You know, this is your footprint. You put in the sand, and it's one that you're going to remember for the rest of your life.
Thank you. Yes, and that is how we start today's show. Welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, extending a happy Monday to all of our listeners out there. We are so honored you've made Current Sports a part of your weekday afternoon. And on behalf of all of us here at WKAR's Current Sports, we want to extend a huge congratulations to the man, the myth, the legend, and Hall of Famer, Mr. Tom Izzo, head coach of the Michigan State men's basketball team. It was announced, as I stated in our headliners, that Tom Izzo will be a part of the 2016 Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame class. How cool is that? A big salute to Izzo, who joins 9 other individuals for this year's class. And just to rattle the names off really quick here, Zelmo Beattie, Darrell Garrettson, Allen Iverson, one of my childhood athlete heroes, John McClendon, Yao Ming, Shaquille O'Neal, Cumberland Posey, Jerry Ransdorf, and the great Cheryl Swoops, along with Tom Izzo. That is your class for this year's, again, Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame. Very impressive, folks. And today's Current Sports question, and I want to extend to all of you out there. Again, if you happen to be listening in your car or at home or happen to be tuning in via our live stream, which, again, if you're my friend on Facebook, you can catch the behind-the-scenes look of what we do here at Current Sports Radio, or if you are weighing in via social media. Again, follow me on Twitter at AlMartinWKAR. Our Current Sports question of the day. I want you to comment on what this Hall of Fame honor means to the career of Tom Izzo. And also, I'm always curious to pick the brains of those out there whenever we talk about any Hall of Fame honor. I want to know what defines a Hall of Famer in your viewpoint. Because I have a few criteria here that I kind of go through every time the Hall of Fame is brought up. And, of course, Tom Izzo epitomizes what my list looks like. To me, this was no surprise. No surprise whatsoever. And it actually, when I was at my apartment last night doing some prep work for Current State, I was a guest on this morning's Current State to talk a little baseball. It's such a busy time of the year right now because, of course, you know, you have basketball wrapping up in the world of college. You have the NHL and NBA playoffs right around the corner. The Masters are coming up as well. And you can't forget about baseball. Opening day for the Detroit Tigers will take place, of course, tomorrow. The Lansing Lugnuts will open up exhibition play this week with the Crosstown Showdown on Wednesday night. Just a busy time of the year. So I was actually prepping last night on my couch, and I was on Twitter. And news actually leaked ahead of this morning's announcement at 11 a.m. on ESPN SportsCenter. It leaked last night via Fox Sports and a few other entities that Tom Izzo would be a part of the 2016 Hall of Fame class. So I knew ahead of time, as like many of you out there who are following this story on social media, you guys knew the time was going to be inducted and his name was going to be called at 11 a.m. this morning. So it really didn't come as a surprise. And for me, to answer that question, what defines a Hall of Famer in my viewpoint? Well, first off, this is what my criteria looks like. Resume. Of course, you have to have a resume that is above and beyond. Certainly. I mean, I think that's a no-brainer. I think we can all agree on that. Also, I also believe that to become a Hall of Famer, And this is any player, any coach, anyone who graces some sort of hall has to go through some sort of adversity and respond to that adversity with a positive attitude and one that also adds to that incredible resume. And I think a lot of people forget that, you know, and I believe that a lot of Spartan fans are spoiled over the years when looking at what Tom Izzo has been able to do throughout his tenure as the head coach of the Spartan men's basketball program. He has had so much success that we forget that there are levels to that success. It's not like Tom Izzo immediately when he became the head coach here at Michigan State. He didn't immediately begin to have success, folks. There were growing pains and there were obstacles that Tom had to go through in order to reach this type of success. And a lot of people forget, and I think that, you know, reading the newspaper this morning, Graham Couch did one magnificent job. Graham Couch, columnist for the Lansing State Journal. Graham Couch did a magnificent job of writing a piece that details Tom Izzo's first 3 years. First 3 years at the helm of the Spartan men's basketball program and the growing pains that Tom had to go through. And I love how he starts the column. He starts the article by talking about Tom Izzo's last name and how at a certain hall here on Michigan State's campus, at one time, somebody had wrote on the walls, Tom Fizzo, basically making fun of Tom and not really buying into what he was doing here in his beginning years as the head coach. And it's just really comical. And it starts from that moment talking about, you know, Tom Fizzo being written on the walls of one of the halls and how that perception changed after his third year as the head coach of the program. I really encourage you all, if you haven't read that article, to go out, purchase the LSJ or check it out online and to read that article. It is very, very detailed and fascinating, and Graham did a great job of talking about that. But if you look at Izzo's resume right now, again, he's won a national championship. He accomplished that in 2000. 7 Big Ten championships, 7 Final Fours. He has reached the NCAA tourney in the last 19 years and has an overall record in the month of March of 46-17. Absolutely remarkable. His resume stacks up with any coach in the game of college basketball today. So for me, I go through this list. So resume, check. He certainly has that. Dealing with adversity. Again, in his first 2 years, actually, he went 9-9, finishing 6th and 7th in the conference and failed to make the tourney. I think a lot of us forget about that. And there was a lot of criticism on Izzo. There was even talk, if you can believe this or not, there was even talk about Tom Izzo getting fired. A lot of pressure. And also in that article, Graham, he talks about how at the time, during those early years of the Izzo tenure, you guys know who Izzo's right-hand man was, his lead assistant was at the time. He's a man who just came off a year in which he was named the Big Ten Coach of the Year, that being Tom Crean. And Couch got a chance to talk with Crean, and Crean talks about a time in which during those early years of just struggling and trying to figure things out for Izzo, they would actually go to the Burger King near Frandor. And I believe that Burger King still exists. I had no idea that Burger King has been around that long. But there's a Burger King near Frandor here in East Lansing that I attend when I have a cheat day because I'm on a health kick right now. And Izzo used to get a burger and a Coke and sit down with Tom Crean. And they would talk about, okay, what they need to do, what they need to change, just modifications within the program that need to happen in order to be successful. And of course, the big get in the Izzo tenure was Mr. Mateen Cleaves. And also in that article, it details how Izzo and Crean and their coaching staff, they were a bit nervous about getting a nationally recognized recruit in Mateen Cleaves from Flint Town because of the whole incident, the car accident. If you remember, Mateen was riding in the car with a few other recruits who happened to go to Michigan in Ann Arbor, and the car happened to roll over. You guys know that story. Just a really, really rough story. And how with that incident and the controversy surrounded around that incident, they were not sure if Mateen was going to come to Michigan State or not. But we all know how that panned out. Mateen came here and ended up winning a national championship with Tom Izzo. And, you know, in 1998, actually, MSU's record in conference improved to 13-3. That was the year, 1998 was the year where the program really began to break through. And that's when Izzo went 13-3 and won a Big Ten regular season title, his first of seven now throughout his career. So dealing with adversity, he certainly overcame that. His resume stacks up to the billing. And also, this is these are a few other criteria that I have when you think of defining a Hall of Famer. You have to be exceptional, of course, and consistent. Consistent, being consistent is so important because it proves to the doubters out there that your career is not a fluke. Tom Izzo has consistently had success with this program and has sustained it throughout most of his tenure, about 95% of his tenure as the head coach of this program. Simple as that. There's a reason why we in Michigan say January, February, Izzo, April. That saying rings true. There's a reason why they call Tom Izzo Mr. March, despite what occurred last month, all right? Let's put that in the past, all right? Historically, Tom has had great success when it comes to tourney time, all right? And he has sustained it. Again, you got to be consistent. And also, this is criteria that is on my list and may vary depending on who you talk to. It's certainly a conversation that we've had here on the show when discussing the NFL Hall of Fame. And I remember we specifically had this discussion when talking about the career of Mr. Terrell Owens and whether or not he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. But I do believe that to put the icing on top of a Hall of Fame career, you have to have character. Character, character, character. How you carry yourself, what other people say about you as a person, as a human being. Did you uphold the light and shine a positive light on the program that you either played for or coached for? And Tom Izzo has certainly done that time and time again. So again, my criteria, you got to have a great resume. You got to deal with adversity and overcome it. You got to be exceptional and consistent, and you have to have character. Tom Izzo, you exemplify all of that, and congratulations, my friend. Call in, folks, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. And right now, I want to invite the man behind the glass, our fantastic engineer of WKAR's Current Sports, Isaac Constance. Isaac, how do you define what a Hall of Famer is?
Yeah, that was a good question that you posed, Al, going through your list. It made me definitely contemplate mine. But character, I definitely agree with. And I'd go beyond character. And I think you have to expand the game, improve the game of basketball in some function. You see how Yao Ming, he's on that list, even though he played less than 1,000 games in the NBA, just because of what he did to bring that game to China and other Asian countries, which is so important, so vital for the NBA nowadays. Then I think you also have to have, like you said, the resume. And there are a few components to that. One is wins on the court. One is the personal accolades that you might accumulate over your career. And then also just in terms of what you've done in every aspect of the game. It's not enough just to be a player or just to be a coach. You have to be multidimensional. And I think all of the players on this list, especially Tom Izzo, embody that. And then I'd just throw in, I like the adversity one, but I think you also need sort of the earlier recognition in your career as well. And that's just the respect of your peers and the, I guess, awarding of different accolades and the liking of all people in the basketball or whatever the sport may be community in order to enter that Hall of Fame. Because I think if you're not well-liked in the sport by nearly everybody, not everybody, it's okay to be controversial, but I think you need to have overall a positive footprint on the game that you gave so much to.
Certainly, yeah. Not everybody's going to like it. Let's just get that out there right now. And actually, you know, when doing my research this morning, I actually found an interesting article. In 2013, did you know that Tom Izzo was actually voted the fifth angriest coach by USA Today Sports?
Makes sense. It makes sense.
How interesting is that, right? But that's the moxie in which Tom Izzo coaches with. I mean, that's a part of who he is, and there's a method to that madness. I mean, how many times have we gone through this conversation and noted how Izzo gets so just out of it, just loses it on the sidelines, either on his players, either on the referees. I mean, but There's a reason behind Tom Izzo's madness. He pushes his players and he gets on them. And that's why I say you have to be a tough cookie in order to play for Tom Izzo. Because if you aren't, you're not going to last in his program. You are going to end up transferring. Simple as that. And again, you know, and I think, you know, Magic Johnson stated it best when talking about Tom Izzo's career. Tom Izzo breeds not just fantastic players, but he breeds men. When you leave this program, you are going to have the tools that you need to succeed in the game of life, because life ain't always fair. Life is going to knock you down and you have to get back up. And that is something Tom exemplifies and puts an emphasis on with whoever graces his program. Yeah. Simple as that.
And I prefer hard-nosed coaches, these very strict professionals to play under, because I think you glean more from that experience. You learn more about the game. There's no fooling around that's allowed or anything like that. And it just lets you totally focus on what you went to accomplish. Right. And that's what happens under Tom Izzo. He doesn't necessarily take anything from any of his players. And that's how it should be. Maybe at some times the softer players would say he can be stubborn with a system. But any player who's been with him for 4 years obviously feels that love and that respect is reciprocated. Just look at the relationship he had with Denzel Valentine more than any other player recently, except for maybe Draymond Green, who look what he's doing in the pros. So Tom Izzo, you know, he gives out a lot of criticism, a lot of harsh words, and you can give them back, and at the end of the day, it seems like it's all mutual respect.
Certainly, and of course, you know, his first big get, you know, probably arguably the biggest get in his career was, of course, Mateen Cleaves. And Mateen was able to lead that team to a national title in the year 2000. And, man, it's such a weird time of the year because, you know, I had detailed on the show how Isaac, in the span of, 2 weeks, we saw Brandon Dawson get in trouble with the law due to a domestic incident. Then we saw, we knew about this case when it first broke, but we didn't know the details of it. But in that same span of time, the details of the Mateen Cleaves sexual assault case were released to the public. And then what happens the following week after that news breaks? Michigan State loses in the first round to Middle Tennessee State. The biggest upset, in my opinion, in the tournament this year. So that all happens in the span of 2 weeks. And, you know, there was this interesting dialogue, and I even had a story planned. If we were to cover Michigan State another run to the Final Four, one of my premier stories is going to be, in the same month, Tom Izzo reaching a possible Final Four while also being named to the Naismith Class of 2016 in the Basketball Hall of Fame. But, you know, it's a bit bittersweet right now. But when looking at the relationship shared between Mateen Cleaves and Tom Izzo, and look, when evaluating what Mateen is currently going through, I wonder if we will even hear Mateen make a statement about Tom Izzo being inducted to the Hall of Fame, because they had and still have, I assume, a very close relationship, almost like a father and son type of relationship. And I wonder, you know, and the thought has crossed my mind, many times about what type of advice Tom Izzo has given to Mateen during this really critical moment in his life and what those conversations have been like. But I feel for Mateen, and I really hope I'm rooting for him, because every interaction I've had with Mateen has been a pleasant one. He's been such an outstanding and classy guy. And I really hope what's being alleged isn't true. But I'm just curious whether or not, you know, Mateen is going to make a statement on Tom's enshrinement.
Yeah, that would be interesting, because Tom Izzo, when we saw the details, the latest details of Mateen's case be released, we saw Tom come out and make a statement in support of Mateen, just saying, I can't really fathom the idea that Mateen would do something like this. Just from his own knowledge and interactions with Mateen, which you mentioned is such a tight relationship between those two. Mm-hmm. So I'd be interested to see if Mateen comes out. Obviously, the two are in rather separate, polar opposite directions right now. Mateen probably going through one of the biggest trials of his life in terms of anything. And this one just happens to be a trial in court. And then Tom Izzo, of course, this is what he said was the highest of highs for him. He said this is the greatest honor of his life, which is saying something
based on
what he's accomplished. So, yeah, it's really interesting. I'd expect a comment from many of Tom Izzo's former players. I'm not sure if Mateen will be one, just given his current situation.
Exactly. And also, I didn't even mention Zach Randolph, too. He was another name that was brought up when it comes to assault. So, a tough month when you look at the month of March 2016. But Tom Izzo, again, being inducted, one of nine other individuals in this year's class of the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame. I think that takes the edge off of the month that was of March this year just a little bit. So
it's
congratulations. It is April now. So again, folks, call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we have a pretty cool feature that that highlights a former Michigan State men's basketball player by the name of Kelvin Torbert. Folks, he's written a children's book. We'll have the details of that and so much more. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, and what a snoozer of a weekend it was in the world of college basketball, all right? I don't know if you guys tuned in to the Final Four at all. I tried to tune in, but man, oh man, I had to fight going to sleep when watching both games. I had to run and make me some coffee during both of those games. My goodness, folks, the Wildcats and Tar Heels. Villanova and North Carolina, they reigned as the winners during this past weekend's Final Four games out in Houston. Villanova routing Oklahoma 95-51, and North Carolina topping the Cuse 83-66. Complete blowouts in both games. Josh Hart and Villanova, they shot a combined, get this, 71.4% from the field against Buddy Hield in Oklahoma. And actually, they limited the National Player of the Year, Buddy Hield, to get this, just 9 points. That's it. Talk about defense. That's the epitome of it. Villanova played outstanding D against the Sooners. And North Carolina, led by Marcus Page, get this, they have won each tournament game by 14 or more points, just completely dominating. So, I'm speaking more so from my heart here, that I really believe that tonight's game is going to be a close one. I love both of these teams. I didn't see Villanova getting past Kansas, you know, let alone getting all the way to the national championship. And man, you know, looking at this game, and you look at the numbers, and again, Bryce Johnson, another name you can bring up for UNC, he averages 17 points and 10.5 rebounds. He scored 16 points and 9 boards against Syracuse. I really like this North Carolina team. There's a lot of controversy surrounded around this team, though, Isaac, because, as noted last week, we talked about briefly how North Carolina and Syracuse are in a bit of hot water this year, seeing as though North Carolina, again, and I'm told right now, when looking at, you know, the investigation behind the Tar Heel situation, I'm told that right now the investigation is wrapping up. And the only reason that North Carolina was not punished this year is because the investigation dragged too long into the college basketball season. Therefore, they couldn't punish the Tar Heels this year. But again, the allegation surrounding the Tar Heels is that of a African-American history course was made up so that student-athletes could take the course, pass it easily, and pad their respective grade point averages so that they remain eligible throughout this athletic year. That investigation is wrapping up. And again, they couldn't punish North Carolina this year, but there will be possible punishments next season. Now, I'm hearing out of the UNC camp that they are denying that any punishment will be handed down. Nothing really happened here, blah, blah, blah. But that alone is sparking up a lot of debate as to whether or not UNC deserves to be in tonight's national championship game. And just imagine if they win it. You better believe that if there is a punishment that is handed out, there's going to be a huge asterisk next to that championship for UNC.
Yeah, but at the same time, do you think that the purported allegations against UNC would have been enough to deem removing them from playoff contention?
That's not the question, though. I think that anytime you have any sort of scandal involved, people don't weigh in that, Isaac.
That's true.
People just look at, oh, there was a scandal involved. Oh, some of these players shouldn't have been eligible. That's the only thing. Whether or not those players would have made, you know, being absent would have made a big impact, that the specifics of it won't be debated. The casual sports fan is just going to look at the fact that UNC had some controversy surrounded around their program this year, and they should have not have been in contention. That's all they're going to look at. They could care less about the specifics.
But I think they should look deeper than that.
They should. Because, I agree.
No, because when you look at the two teams who were barred from postseason play this year, that was SMU, who is one of the best teams in the country, just blowing cats out. And then you also had Louisville. And both of the, not even allegations, but both of the transgressions by those two were so much more serious than just academics. Listen, I know that players should be able to maintain a 2.0. It's just not that hard at the end of the day. A 2.0 is nothing. But at the same time, these guys are in school to play basketball. And not doing their work in the classroom, on the curriculum, yes, that's a problem, but that's not worthy of removing them from championship contention. So I agree, fans will look at this and want an asterisk, but whoever wins this game deserves to win this game, if you ask me.
When it comes to the X's and O's, without a doubt, I think these two teams have proven that they deserve to be on this platform. As to whether or not they should be competing on that platform, not Villanova, excuse me, North Carolina and Syracuse, excuse me, as to whether or not they should be competing on this platform due to those allegations and findings, again, once we see the hardcore investigation, hardcore details of the investigation, that's a whole nother conversation. Now, just to look at the specifics of what each school is being charged, Syracuse was sanctioned by the NCAA last year after a long investigation found a lack of institutional control. Now, the bulk of the violations concern athletic department officials interfering with academics and making sure star players stayed eligible. In that case, the problems more clearly stepped into the NCAA's domain. And then you saw Jim Boeheim get suspended at the very start of the year. So in all reality, really, Syracuse has served their allegation or suspension, I should say, already.
Yeah, they've been punished.
They've been punished already. Now, when it comes to North Carolina, which has not been punished, the NCAA is investigating the role of athletic department staffers in steering athletes towards bogus independent studies classes. The NCAA took a while to become involved in North Carolina's issues because the fake classes were available to all students, not just athletes here. Emmert, of course, the president of the NCAA, has said, without being specific, the conclusion of that investigation is near. Again, that's from NCAA President Mark Emmert. So, again, weigh on this. Do you think that UNC should have competed in the postseason this year? 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. As far as this matchup goes, but before we go to our feature for today's show, Isaac, what do you think about UNC and Villanova tonight? Who do you got and why?
Well, I've got Bryce Johnson pretty much. I think he's going to tear it up tonight inside. I've been impressed by him all year. And the guy, if you ask me, is one of the best pro prospects. I think he's going to be a total professional and a total stud at the next level. Now, I love Villanova on the outside. I think Josh Hart as well. You're looking at a future NBA All-Star there, a two-way player whose defense might even surpass his offense. And Ryan Arcidiacono, that guy's been making big plays for Villanova for 4 years now. However, I like UNC's experience here. Being led by Marcus Page, a senior, all 4 years under Roy Williams. He's so experienced, so weathered in terms of his veteran leadership. I'd be surprised if UNC doesn't come out totally calm and composed, where Villanova might have a few jitters. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. They were by far the most impressive team over this past weekend. At the same time, I'm not buying them shooting 71% again.
Right, exactly. And I think that when you look at the firepower that North Carolina has, I mean, my goodness. Again, you mentioned, you know, Bryce Johnson. Marcus Page is also terrific. Joe Berry II and Nate Britt. I love those two as well. I just think that at the end of the day, North Carolina has a little bit more talent than Villanova. I think North Carolina has the edge, and I'm picking them to win tonight. Folks, call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. All right, let's try this into our feature for today. Kelvin Torbert is one of the greatest high school basketball players in Michigan history. Now, after winning the state's Mr. Basketball Award in 2001, Torbert went on to play collegiately at Michigan State and professionally overseas. He's launched a new endeavor as the author of a children's book. Scott Pohl, a producer with WKAR's Current State, had Kelvin Torbert and his co-author and publisher, Kellen Brandon, come in and talk about the project.
Kelvin Torbert and Kellen Brandon, welcome to Current State.
Thank you for having us.
Good to have you here. Kelvin, tell us about KT and the Radical Round Ball. First of all, are you KT? You must be, right?
Yeah, it's a younger state of me.
Is this a kid's book version of your autobiography then?
It's kind of like a spinoff of my childhood a little bit, similar, but it's more a children's book to kind of educate kids on being kind of humble and bettering themselves.
Yeah. What's the storyline, and what age range do you think might enjoy the book?
I think it's pretty sure from about 6 years old to middle school age, and the storyline is just about a kid that loved basketball and had a couple obstacles with kids coming from out of town in different areas and using basketball to kind of better himself and be a better person.
Does the book take place in Flint?
Yes, Flint, okay. Michigan.
All right. Kelvin, we're going to hear from Kellen in a minute, but Kelvin, I'd like you to read a passage from the book for me, if you would.
Okay. Here we go. I was born in Flint, Michigan, and I love playing basketball. In Flint, sports are a very big deal. Over the years, we had some amazing athletes come from our town. It really makes me proud to be from Flint. Carl Banks, Jim Abbott, Clarissa Shields, Mark Ingram, Brandon Carr, the Flintstones, and the list goes on. But there's one guy who stood out above them all. His name was Donnie the Dynamite Dawson. People say he was radical with the round ball. I've never had a chance to see him in action. I've only heard stories about how great he was. Many people say he was too good to be on Earth, so he jumped off of it.
And that's a good entree into the story. Now, Kellen Brandon, you're the publisher, also the co-author. How did you connect with Kelvin Torbert?
Well, I've actually been friends with Kelvin since high school. I'm born in Flint, and I actually moved to Texas for a couple years, and then I moved back. Kelvin was one of the first people that I linked up with playing basketball, and I've been knowing him ever since.
Okay, now the new kid in town in the book is from Texas. Is that you?
That is me.
Yes. All right. Former MSU basketball star Kelvin Torbert has written a book for children called KT and the Radical Round Ball. We're talking with him and the book's publisher and co-author, Kellen Brandon. Kellen, now, you've been sponsoring the BP School Takeover for 4 years now in conjunction with National Reading Month. So I'd like you to tell us what got that project started, why you're interested in encouraging children to read.
What got BP School Takeover started was me starting an independent publishing company. And by doing so, I was able to get speaking engagements and just all type of things started to come into play for me. I feel like I was a former athlete, and I realized during that time how important literacy was to my success. And so what I wanted to do was be able to provide that same insight and awareness for youth, because a lot of times we take that for granted and they don't realize how important literacy is to their success going into adulthood.
Does your publishing company specialize in children's books?
Not children's books. Actually, this is our first children's book.
Okay.
But we have a program called Young Authors, where we nurture authors that are in middle school going into high school and give them the opportunity to write and publish as well.
Now, this project started at Bryant Elementary School in Flint, right?
Yes.
Is that where you went?
No.
Did you go to school there?
No, I
okay,
didn't.
Okay.
At the time, it was a principal that was my fourth grade teacher.
Oh.
And he was principal at Bryant, and I ran the pitch by him, and he said, well, bring it on over here. And that's where it got started and how we got going with it.
And that school has closed?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So now your project has branched into Lansing's Willow Elementary, right?
Yes. A friend, I met him at a barbershop. He's from Lansing, and I was looking for a school to serve as I'm now living in the Lansing area. And Anthony Clemens, who's a player at Iowa, gave me Willow Elementary and their principal's contact. And so I reached out to him, and he loved the idea. And so this will be our second year at Willow.
So what does this project do for the students at Willow?
Well, what we do is we try to get at least 30 adult volunteers to sacrifice their lunch period to come and read for an hour with children. And then some of our sponsors, Domino's Pizza is one of our sponsors. We reflect on what we read, and then we have pizza and kind of hang out. And we just really want to build healthy adult youth relationships while also raising the awareness and importance of literacy.
Sometimes a project like this has a focus on minority children, and maybe the adults also perhaps come from the minority community. Is there an emphasis like that here?
There is definitely an emphasis on that. Flint released 4 years ago a score of literacy in the state, and it ranked among one of the lowest in the state and in the nation. And that was really alarming for me. And so I see a lot of deficiency in our adults, minority populations. And so that's one of the reasons we wanted to reach to that age demographic.
All right. Now, Kelvin, you're known in these parts mostly for your basketball career here at MSU from 2001 to 2005. And, of course, your outstanding high school career at Flint Northwestern before that. You were one of the infamous MSU Flintstones. When you were a student at MSU, what did you study? And did you do a lot of writing in those days when you were in college?
Honestly, I didn't do a lot of writing, but I studied communications. And within that, we did a lot of kind of branching off, reading stories, and a lot of writing off of stories in a lot of my classes. So I think that was a good beginning start for me to get into this type of atmosphere.
I know MSU athletics and athletes at MSU frequently do outreach projects in the community and work with children, visiting hospitals, visiting schools. Was that a focus of the MSU basketball team when you were on the Spartan squad?
I think that was definitely a focus. I think Coach puts a huge emphasis on that. He tried to explain to us that we are like a face of the children. They see us, they look up to us, they know us, and the best thing for us is to show our face and be around and just be there to help a little bit, and it means a lot.
Now, Kelvin, I understand you have an organization of your own that's called Hope for a Better Tomorrow. Can you tell me about that?
Yeah, it's the Kelvin Torber Hope for a Better Tomorrow. It was a foundation I started probably about 6 years ago while I was still playing, and it was just basically me just setting up a foundation for some of my other overseas buddies that could help out and to kind of just help out with the cancer research, which I lost both of my parents from cancer. So it was a huge thing for me to try to do what I can to try to help the cancer research and hopefully find a cure for it.
You mentioned your overseas buddies. People may not be aware that you played professionally overseas after your college days wrapped up. So you played professionally with players from all over the country, but around the world. What countries did you play in?
I played in France, Greece, Russia, Belgium, Germany. I did a short 2 week stint in Mexico.
2 weeks in Mexico. A lot of people have spent 2 weeks in Mexico. Maybe on vacation, not working.
Exactly.
So along with writing this book, what are you doing these days?
Now I'm just working over at Meijer Outbound Logistics and just doing a little like administrative stuff and just a little job to help me get into the real world, as we say it.
Yeah. Well, listen, Kellen, I want to ask you about when it first occurred to you maybe that you had an author, a budding young author here in Kelvin Torbert.
It's been a vision of mine for a while, but it's taken a lot longer to get him to buy into it.
Yeah.
It's just something that as young African-American men growing up in the inner city, Flint being one of the most dangerous cities in the country. That's just something that's not highlighted or something that we look at as the right thing to do. Ironically, the word right. And so talking to him and letting him know about some of the things that I've experienced just from me being, I played at Tennessee State University, so not as big a school as Michigan State, just knowing what he could do and how he could impact youth, which is something he's really passionate about, is probably what brought him in. And we talked about what type of story we could write, and then we just said, let's do it.
So much of the news out of Flint lately has been about the lead in the water and what that means to Flint families. Do you still have family in Flint, either of you? And what are you hearing from family and friends that still live in Flint about what life is like these days in that city? Calvin?
Yeah, I actually still have family. All my brothers and my aunts live there. So, I mean, just coming from them is just like, it's getting to a state of now it's, where do we go from here, you know? We're getting all the water donations, but, I mean, they love it. But now it's a state of when are we going to start fixing the pipes and start doing some construction to get the major problem fixed, because you can only use so much water. You can only donate so many water bottles and gallons of water. So now it's people just trying to get more outright with it and trying to help out and trying to encourage the building process to speed up.
Kellen, Brandon, you still have family in Flint?
Yes. Majority of my family is still in Flint. I think the reality of the situation hit me when we went to go stay with my wife's mother. And I was going into the bathroom, and she had a basket of water bottles set to the side of the sink for us to use to wash up. And I just realized how difficult it was to do that. And I couldn't imagine, you know, having my children and trying to do that every day and still follow a schedule of an adult. It's really difficult. And that's when it hit home for me that something has to happen and fast.
Tell me how people can get a copy of the book.
You can get a copy of the book by going to www.brandonpublishing.com. You can also order the book on amazon.com. And as Kelvin goes around to the different Barnes and Nobles in this region, they'll be stocking a book there as well.
The book is called KT and the Radical Round Ball. It's a children's book written by former MSU basketball player Kelvin Torbert and co-author and publisher Kellen Brandon. Kelvin, Kellen, thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
I like that. I like the chorus there. For Current State, this is Scott Pohl.
How cool was that? He even said goodbye in unison. KT and the Radical Round Ball. Definitely pick that up for your little one. That should be a pretty cool book. And, of course, our thoughts and prayers go out to the city of Flint as well. Kelvin doing an outstanding job in his post-basketball career and also in the community. All right, let's hit our second break. When we come back, we'll put a bow on this Monday edition of WKAR's Current Sports by hitting it with Weekend Winners. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Just 5 minutes remaining in this Monday edition of Current Sports, and we love to close out each and every Monday show with a segment we entitle Weekend Winners, as we look at the weekend that was in sports and beyond and hit you with who we thought had the best weekend. Here we go.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it. That's the great thing about sports. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around. And nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down.
All right, so who exactly had the best weekend in sports and beyond? And also, I have a few weekend losers as well. But I first want to shout out the Detroit Pistons. They got a huge win over the Chicago Bulls this past weekend to make sure that they hold down at least one playoff spot in the NBA Eastern Conference standings. Right now, they actually lead the Bulls by two games in the Eastern Conference at the eighth spot. And right now, Indiana, they also sit at seven. And ideally, they're really tied here. 41-36 are the identical records for both the Pacers and the Pistons. And numbers one through six, teams one through six have already clinched a spot in the playoffs. That being the Cleveland Cavaliers, Toronto Raptors, Atlanta Hawks, Boston Celtics, Miami Heat, and Charlotte Hornets. The Pistons will now hit the road to take on the Miami Heat tomorrow. Then they play the Magic on the road. Then they wrap up the year against the Wizards and the Heat at home. But right now, the Pistons are sitting pretty. A big win over the Chicago Bulls. Now, how about Reggie Jackson taking a huge charge in that matchup? Also, I want to give a shout-out to Katie Sharp, Michigan State sophomore golfer, who took home the hardware at this weekend's inaugural Clemson Invitational. Again, Sharp, she shot an 8-under, 208, which tied for the second lowest 54-hole total in school history. And last but not least, for my weekend winners, the Michigan State football program. A big weekend in the world of recruiting. As I mentioned to start the show, they pick up the number one quarterback for 2017. And I love the name, Rocky Lombardi. And how about that? Also, Andre Rison's son, Hunter Rison, who had decommitted and opened up his options and decided to commit on Friday back to the Michigan State football program. And I'm told that Rocky was certainly heavily influenced by Mr. Rison in his decision for coming to MSU. And also Austin Robertson, the young man who, of course, was, you know, he's been accused of a battery early on in the year. There was a lot of controversy surrounding that. He reopened his commitment, and he has committed to the Spartan football program for next year. And with that get for Austin Robertson, it actually propelled Michigan State's incoming recruiting class to fifth in the nation. How crazy is that? Isaac?
Yeah, I mean, you took a lot of my thunder right there. But going back to the NBA real quick, the Boston Celtics, that game against the Golden State Warriors Friday night was insane. Celtics just dominate for 90% of the game. And then 7 minutes left in the fourth quarter, Steph Curry checks back in, and you think, okay, play time's over, kids. But the Boston Celtics, they just held on. Isaiah Thomas, fantastic leader of that team. And then how about the Hall of Fame class this year for basketball? Not just Tom Izzo, though, of course, we've got to give him all the props in the world, but Yao Ming, what he's done for the game overseas, Shaquille O'Neal, LSU alum repping, and then you've got, of course, you've got AI as well, who waltzed into the ceremony wearing a King of Hearts jacket. Was so dope.
I did not see that. I'm going to have to check that out. And also, you got to check out a video of Steph Curry actually knocking a cup of water out the hand of Draymond Green's hand as they do the customary, you know, water dumping on the head. Man, I tell you, Steph Curry, he's just got incredible accuracy no matter what he's doing. All right, thanks so much to all of you out there for tuning in to today's Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. We're talking a lot of baseball on tomorrow's show. You don't want to miss it. As always, take care, have a fantastic afternoon, and be easy, people.